we need to overthrow this system and to bring a whole different world into being, a revolution that is guided by the new communism developed by the revolutionary leader, Bob Avakian. You're going to hear directly from Bob Avakian in today's show, and we're going to talk about why getting his voice out throughout society is the most decisive thing that needs to be done to prepare for and bring closer the time where we can make that revolution.
That's right. We're going to hear from Bob Avakian. Break down, what is capitalism? And no, it is not just greed. And no, it's not a good thing. And then you're going to hear a more recent message from Bob Avakian from his social media dispatches at Bob Avakian Official, where he breaks down why I am not running for president and why he would not want to be president of this country. And through that, you're going to learn more about the work that he is doing, get to know Bob Avakian better, and you're going to learn some things about this system and its so-called choices in this upcoming election.
But first, we're going to hear from Sansara talking about the news that just broke of the first woman whose death was confirmed to be caused by the abortion bans that have gone into effect since the overturning of Roe v. Wade.
Amber Nicole Thurman should still be alive today. Amber should be 31 years old, making new memories with her son as he enters a new school year and makes new friends. She should be hanging out with her best friend, Ricaria Baker, and posting selfies on Instagram. She should be celebrating her new nursing degree. But instead, in 2022, Amber Nicole Thurman was allowed to die by a fully equipped hospital that had all the knowledge, all the skill, all the well-trained medical professionals to save her life. But instead, these professionals let Amber die slowly. They let her deteriorate for hours as her body was increasingly poisoned. They let her blood pressure drop. They let her breathing quicken. They let her organs fail. They let her mother sit desperately in the waiting room. They did all this because the simple, routine procedure that would have saved Amber's life is the same one used in abortions, which had just been outlawed. So after 20 hours of agony in the hospital, coming on top of days of hidden cramping and bleeding at home, after complications from a legal abortion, coming on top of weeks of stress and scrambling to travel out of state to get that abortion, which should have been easy and should have been easy to follow up with abortion care when the complications arose, after all of this, Amber Thurman was dead. She became the first woman to be confirmed dead as a cause of abortion restriction since Roe v. Wade was overturned. But she is certainly not the only woman to have died, and she will not be the last. I want you to look at Amber. Now, who killed Amber Nicole Thurman? The obvious answer is the Christian fascists on the Supreme Court who overturned women's right to abortion. Who killed Amber? The obvious answer is that fascist pig, hater of women, Donald Trump, who made appointing anti-abortion ghouls to the high court a cornerstone of his presidency. Who killed Amber? The obvious answer is the Christian fascist who banned abortion in Georgia, but also the entire so-called pro-life movement that has spent decades fetishizing fetal tissue while demonizing and shaming women. This Christian fascist American Taliban that has bombed clinics and killed doctors and passed female enslaving abortion bans and is still fighting to take this further. Yes, they all killed Amber Thurman. But they are not the only ones responsible for Amber's death. The Democrats also killed Amber Nicole Thurman. And I don't care how many of them decide to say her name and try to use her death to get you to vote for them. These Democrats also killed Amber. These Democrats have spent decades ceding the moral high ground to Christian fascists, implying that there's something wrong with abortion by insisting that it should be safe, legal, and rare.
Our vision should be of an America where abortion is safe and legal, but rare.
Going back really at least 15 years, in talking about abortion being safe, legal, and rare. And by rare, I mean rare.
These Democrats repeatedly pimp off abortion rights to get you to vote for them and then drop it the second they are in office.
Well, the first thing I do as president is sign the Freedom of Choice Act. That's the first thing that I do.
The Freedom of Choice Act is not my highest legislative priority.
And as Bob Avakian sharply pointed out recently, when abortion rights were clearly on the Supreme Court's chopping block back in 2022, The Democrats refused to mobilize people to take to the streets in massive protests. They refused to declare that there would be no business as usual unless abortion rights were preserved. Instead, these Democrats attacked, and they used their so-called progressive forces tied to them to attack Rise Up for Abortion Rights, an organization and movement which I initiated together with others, which was actually mobilizing tens of thousands to stand up and fight. And now, as Bob Avakian recently put it,
now the Democrats are once again insisting that voting for them is the only means of restoring the right to abortion. But the record of the Democrats makes clear that they are not willing to carry through a real fight for this right, especially if such a fight would threaten the stability of the rule of the capitalist imperialist system.
But that still is not all. Everyone who keeps going along with this war on women also bears responsibility for Amber's death. Yes, I am talking about the medical professionals who let Amber die because they didn't want to risk prosecution. Well, they should have done the fucking procedure and fought it out in court if it came to that. But I also want to talk about you. And I want to talk about the choices that you are confronted with. Look, radical change is coming. The old order is not holding. The overturning of abortion rights and Amber's death is part of that. And the future is either going to be far worse, murderously reactionary, or it's going to be revolutionary and emancipating. Things are going up for grabs, and you are confronted with a choice, and what you do can make all the difference. If you keep going along with the notion that the only meaningful way to act against this growing atrocity is through the system's elections, you are paving the way for the worst. This system is not the best that is possible, and it is not permanent. Through a revolution, a real revolution that overthrows this system, we could bring into being a new society where not only is abortion guaranteed, on demand and without apology, but where the unleashed fury of millions and millions of women against thousands and thousands of years of degradation, humiliation, of brutality and insult is a driving force, not only in digging up and overcoming their own oppression, but in overcoming slavery in every form, putting an end to all oppression and exploitation based on race, sex, gender, and class, bringing into being a world where women, where all people, can finally breathe free. A world where people will look back in horror at the needless death of Amber Thurman and her son, who was left behind. This is possible. There is a blueprint for this new society right here in this Constitution for the New Socialist Republic in North America that Bob Avakian authored. Read this Constitution. Talk about it with others. Now is not the time to be choosing between outright theocratic, women-hating fascists on the one side and mainstream imperialists who conciliate with those fascists, all while bragging about being the real best enforcers of this system's murderous domination around the world on the other. Now is the time to seize on the sharp divides at the top of society to fight for the emancipating future that we really deserve, standing up and waging struggle to defend women's rights and lives outside the killing confines of this system's elections, and urgently digging into and spreading the vision of a real revolution and the leadership that is being provided for this revolution every week by Bob Avakian at Bob Avakian Official. Now is the time to be working with the RevCom Corps for the emancipation of humanity, to build up the organized forces to lead this revolution when the chance opens up. And this chance could come soon. Right now, you have the chance to contribute to a future where never again does a woman have to die the way Amber did, and where millions of women don't have to live with the threat of that simply because they want to choose the course of their own lives. But if you stay confined to this system's choices, I'm going to be blunt, then you too will bear the responsibility for the deaths of the many, many more Ambers and all the other horrors that will come.
Once again, let me remind you that you are listening to The Michael Slate Show.
When we RevComs have gone out across the country and told people no to Harris and Trump, we need to follow Bob Avakian for a real revolution, a lot of people ask, well, is Bob Avakian running for president? Hear him answer this directly from Revolution number 81 at Bob Avakian Official.
Well, I am not running for president. And here are some fundamental reasons why I would not run for president and would never want to be president. I don't want to be a vicious exploiter and murderous oppressor of masses of people. I don't want to be a massive destroyer of the environment. And I don't want to drag humanity to the brink of destruction through the danger of a nuclear war. All for the purpose of maintaining the USA as the world's dominant capitalist imperialist power and the number one plunderer of people as well as the environment. That is the actual job description of president of this country, head of this American empire of exploitation, degradation, oppression, and massive destruction.
I believe in what we can do together. That is about sustaining America's standing in the world and ensuring that we have the respect that we so rightly deserve, including respecting our military and ensuring we have the most lethal fighting force in the world.
I rebuilt our entire military. She gave a lot of it away to the Taliban. She gave it to Afghanistan. What these people have done to our country, and maybe toughest of all, is allowing millions of people to come into our country. Many of them are criminals, and they're destroying our country.
As I explained in message number 76, this system forces the people who rise to the top of it and rule it to be literally, without any exaggeration, cutthroat exploiters, murderous oppressors on a massive scale, and relentless plunderers of people and the environment, regardless of the suffering this causes for masses of human beings. For individual capitalists and for the ruling classes of capitalist countries, if they do not beat out and beat down others by whatever means, no matter how monstrous, they will go under. This cannot be reformed away, and it cannot be changed by changing the people who rule in this system. They will all be bound by the very nature, the logic and dynamics, and the demands of this system. By running for president, I would only contribute to reinforcing the illusion that all this could somehow be reformed away or changed by changing the people who rule in this system.
So what is the answer? And what is Bob Avakian doing?
This can only be changed with a revolution to overthrow and abolish this system and replace it with a fundamentally different and much better system, which does not rest on, does not require, and aims to fully do away with ruthless exploitation and monstrous mass murder and destruction. So that is what I am doing, working every day with everything I have to provide the leadership that is necessary for this truly emancipating revolution, to bring about this fundamentally different and much better system. Once more, from message number 76, the basic principles and the practical guidelines for this system are laid out concretely in the Constitution for the New Socialist Republic in North America, which I have written. It is this fundamentally different system that we must be insisting on and fighting for, accepting nothing less, if we really want to put an end to all the madness and unnecessary suffering that the masses of humanity are subjected to in this country and throughout the world, and set out instead on the only possible and realistic road of emancipating all of humanity.
Annie, you really get a sense listening to that of the humanity of Bob Avakian, the humanity and the liberating vision of the world he's fighting to bring into being, and the science that he's applying to penetrate beneath all the bullshit and the hype, the election madness, to penetrate to what this really is a competition over. And it's providing leadership for people, clarity for people, like you said in the beginning of the show. At this moment, and think about it, people are they're losing their damn minds. They're emptying their bank accounts. They're sacrificing. They're putting in hours going door to door, campaigning for one or the other of these monstrous candidates for president. And it's not only doing a waste. It's not only a waste of their resources. It is doing tremendous harm. People are actively enlisting in the crimes of Kamala Harris when you donate to her and the genocide in Gaza. You're actively enlisting in the atrocities of this system. Whichever of these candidates you're lining up behind, people, you need to stop giving your money to these lying politicians. And you need to struggle with your friends and your neighbors to stop giving money to them and to instead donate to the campaign to get Bob Avakian's voice and his leadership and these dispatches he's putting out at Bob Avakian Official every week. Get these known and engaged by millions throughout society right now in this most crucial historical turning point that we're living through.
I mean, look, in this campaign, we have to raise big funds to change exactly what you're describing, where people think that those are the only choices and become complicit in war crimes. People have to understand the whole future could come up for grabs soon. And the revolutionary forces, the RevComs, are working against the clock to get in position to seize on the opening to actually make that revolution, to bring into being out of this nightmare when all these forces are fighting in one form or another to keep this system as it is, to take this system down. And that means that millions have to know about the work that Bob Avakian has done and is doing. They have to hear his voice, and thousands have to come forward and get organized for this revolution. And that's what this campaign is about doing exactly that, getting in position for that. And in order for millions to hear Bob Avakian's voice, we need to raise big funds for online advertising. I'll just say, I was talking to people last night in the Midwest, people who are really doing a lot of work and very creatively working to raise funds, to get Avakian's work out in society, all kinds of things. And one of them commented, wow, I've noticed on Bob Avakian's social media dispatches that the views have really gone up. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's because you guys have helped raise the funds so that we could place ads, you know, on YouTube, on other platforms. And placing the ads, raising the funds to place the ads means that this can be put before millions. Now, what we've done so far is a tiny fraction of what's needed to really reach millions and millions and millions. And that means, you know, raising hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars soon. And this week, we are determined to raise $8,000 to focus on advertising of this revolution number 81, this dispatch that we've been talking about. And, you know, think about what that can change. If you're clicking around your social media or YouTube or whatever, and you see a big ad, why I am not running for president. What's that going to do? So,
yeah. And I think one of the things that's been shown that you were sharing with me about the initial ads is, yeah, millions have actually seen Bob Avakian's social media so far through the funds that you watching and others have raised. Most of them don't click. Mm-hmm. It just sits there. It's not what they're looking for. Some people are dissatisfied. There are thousands right now. And to reach those thousands, really in society, probably tens and hundreds of thousands who would have an ear for this, who are sickened by the choices and would hunger at the chance to find a way to fight for something that would really bring about a fundamental change for humanity. You can't reach those thousands and tens of thousands if you don't get this in front of millions. And there's an incredibly high percentage, based, you know, just from advertising statistics, of people who do click and do listen to the full messages from Bob Avakian. But like you said, it's still on such a small scale. So we need to double down on raising the money and going out to others and struggling with them to put their resources behind this campaign to get Bob Avakian's voice known so that millions see this, millions hear it, and thousands are drawn into being organized right now with the RevComs to take this leadership, to study this leadership, and to fight to advance in making this revolution so that when things come up for grabs, as you're describing, those thousands are in position to lead those millions to fight all out for a real revolution with a real chance to win, which is a big theme that Bob Avakian gets into in these social media dispatches as well.
And I just say, going to make the argument, which you have a role to play in doing right now, to ask people you know to contribute to this, to getting Bob Avakian's voice out there, is making the argument for the revolution we need right now. And that has to spread and it has to network out. And that also is key to building up the forces for revolution, of people steeping themselves in these dispatches and going out to fight for it. We have to have a big on the ground impact and then raise the funds so that we can reach way out beyond our on the ground impact. That's what we're doing this week. That's what you have a role to play in doing now and going forward. And we get to learn a lot through doing it.
All right. So we want to hear Bob Avakian directly on the dynamic of bringing forward thousands into this revolution and the millions that we need.
With thousands organized into the ranks of the revolution, millions can be won to revolution. And with millions won to revolution, there could be a real possibility for this revolution to win.
So we want to go now to an excerpt from Bob Avakian's talk from 2003, Revolution, Why It's Necessary, Why It's Possible, and What It's All About, where he answers the question, so what is capitalism? And we're doing this inspired by a recent series of social media dispatches where Bob Avakian gets into the nature of this system, kicking off from the fact that the system in this country is not democracy. So go to his social media, listen to that series of dispatches, and let's hear him break down the truth of what this system actually is now.
As I said, I'm going to talk about how all these things flow from the very nature of the system and why it cannot be reformed. It must be done in and done away with. We need a revolution, the most radical revolution in the history of humanity. If you want to eliminate a problem or an evil, you must get to the root of it. If you want to eliminate the oppression and miserable conditions of the masses of people in the world today, you have to dig down to the underlying foundation, the ground in which this oppression and misery is rooted, and which continually gives rise to this oppression and suffering. You cannot get rid of a poisonous plant and create something healthy in its place just by pulling up the top of the plant. You have to pull it up from the roots and then grow something completely different and change the soil too. That is what a radical solution is. Radical means having to do with the root. And this is why a real revolution is needed, and this is what it's all about. Now, fundamental things about the world are hidden from us. Fundamental refers to the foundation, like the foundation of a house or another building, the thing that everything rests on. So what is the fundamental thing about how the world works that is hidden from us? The basic, the fundamental thing that goes on in the world every day that enables human beings to live and have a society is the exchange of labor among people. Now, like I said, this is not at all obvious. If there were only six people in the entire world, or we had six people just by themselves living together, this would be more obvious, because then the six of them would get together and they'd say, okay, what are you going to do? Maybe you're going to go out and hunt for food. Maybe you're going to go out and find materials to build a house. Maybe you two are going to work on constructing the house. And you would see how everybody's labor, in one form or another, contributed to people being able to survive and interact with each other in a society. But we don't have six people in the world. We have 6 billion. And they live not just in one little place, but all over the globe. But still, the same fundamental thing is going on. If you go to work, you put in a certain amount of work. You get back a certain amount of money in exchange for that work. You go buy certain products at the store or whatever, and then you take them to your house and use them, and you exchange things in that kind of a way. This goes on in such an everyday way that we don't even stop and think about it. But you are actually exchanging things indirectly through all these different stages with people all over the various parts of the globe. Think about it this way. Don't do it right now. But when you go home, check out your clothes. Look at the labels on them. Don't just look at where it says what company brand is on the clothes. But look where it says where these clothes or other things you have were made. In Nicaragua, in Honduras, in Haiti, in Pakistan, in Egypt, all over the world. We are exchanging things, and ultimately and fundamentally, we're exchanging labor. People in those countries are putting in a certain amount of labor, and we're putting in a certain amount, and that's being exchanged through the form of the way in which we buy things with money. But it's not very obvious, because partly they want to keep it hidden from us. And the other reason is there are things that get in the way of our seeing that very clearly. First is the fact that there are all these intermediate steps. We're not the six people directly exchanging labor with each other. We're exchanging money, getting something. The remote character of where it came from is not obvious unless you do go read those labels, for example. So that's kind of one thing that keeps it hidden from us, is that here's somebody working in a sweatshop in Pakistan making the shirt that you wear, and you're over here putting in a certain amount of work so that you get the money to be able to go to buy that shirt when it gets to a store that you go to. You're exchanging the labor you put in for the labor they put in to make that shirt, but it goes through so many stages in between that you don't see that. But the other thing that gets in the way, and today the more significant thing, is that each of these steps, someone steps in and says, wait a minute, that's mine, I own it, I'm gonna sell it. Not you who made it, me who made you make it. That someone is the capitalist. That's the system we live under. We don't work and exchange our labor directly, or we don't even exchange the products of what we produce with our labor directly. Some capitalist takes it at each stage, says this is mine, and sells it to someone else. And down the line it goes, each time going through another capitalist. But this is what's underlying all that. As I said, go look again at your clothes. Think of the small children who were working 12 and 14 hours a day making those clothes for pennies an hour, if they get that. See if you can see the tears of the children and their blood and bones that go into making those things. See if you can hear the muffled cry and the moans of those children as they're forced to work under these conditions in order to try to live. So what is this wonderful system under which all this takes place? What is capital, and what is capitalism as a system? Capital is a relation of domination, of exploitation, and capitalism is a system based on exploitation. Sometimes people think of capital as money. You hear them talk on the financial channel, oh, he has so much capital, meaning so much money to invest. And money is one form that capital takes. But that is not the heart and not the essence of it. In a deeper sense, money is only the outward expression of capital. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, I've talked a little bit about the exchange of labor between people, the muffled cries and moans of the children who make all, not just the clothes, but many of the other things we use. But let's ask another question. This stock market with its clanging bell we hear about all the time. What are they trading on the stock market? Where does the wealth come from that they're trading in when they buy shares and stocks in different companies and bonds? They're trading in human flesh. They're trading in human suffering. They're trading in what's drained out of those children and out of other people, with their bones literally broken and their skin literally going into the things that are produced. That's where that wealth is created before the capitalist takes it and says it's mine. That's what they're trading in on the stock market. They're trading in exploitation and degradation of people all over the world, including tens of millions or hundreds of millions of children. Another way to get at this money is the outward expression. Look at your money. Who's on it? Mostly dead presidents and slave owners. But are they the ones that created the wealth either back in slavery days or today? Of course not. So what should be on the money to really express the actual relation of things? Who should really be on the money? The little children, the slaves, and others who have been enslaved and exploited and degraded in this way. That should be on the money to tell us where the wealth really came from. And along with that, when we get to it, we'll put people who have led slave rebellions and uprisings and revolutions against this system on the money, as long as we have to use money. Capital is not machinery either. Sometimes you hear people say they got so much capital, got so many machines in the factory or the workshop or whatever. Machinery, after all, is made by people, through the labor of people, like everything else, like those clothes. Somebody made those machines. They didn't appear magically out of somewhere. So once again, when you look at a machine, any kind of machine, including a car or a computer or a CD player or anything, think of the fact that this machine is just the product, the physical embodiment of the labor of the people who made it. Once again, use your imagination and look for all the people in many parts of the world with their skin and their blood, their bones and their suffering that have gone into making all those machines. At the same time, machines are not necessarily capital. Machines are just machines. Whether they are capital or not depends on whether or not they are made under the capitalist system. Under another system, the system of communism, machinery would be made in radically different conditions for radically different ends and would belong to the people, not some capitalists who step in to expropriate them, to take them as their own at each stage of the process. Capital is a relationship in which one person or a group or class of people owns and controls the means to live and the means to create wealth and thereby forces others to work for them in exchange for a wage. Capital is the control over this labor of others, and it is this, making others work for you, that creates the wealth that the capitalists get. Capitalism is a system in which everything that is produced and exchanged among people is a commodity. And this includes people's labor power, that is, their ability to work. That, too, is a commodity. It is bought and sold under the system, the capitalist system. And when your labor power is bought and you are put to work, the capitalist who buys your labor power controls you and what you do while you were working for him. They'll even have his slave drivers in a modern form tell you how long you can go to the bathroom or whether you can go to the bathroom. And really, the capitalist class as a whole controls your very life, has the power of life and death over you because they determine whether or not you can even have a job. And they control you if they give you a job, quote unquote. Capitalism then is a form of modern day slavery. It is wage slavery. That's why I know, at least when I was coming up, people used to regularly refer to a job as a slave. Yeah, I got me a slave. I got to go off and work. But you weren't literally owned. You just produced the wealth, and then you could be fired. But let's back up a second and dig down further into the foundation of this. What is a commodity? You hear that word a lot. What is a commodity? Well, let's take an ugly example to start out with. If a woman makes love with a man because she feels like it and because they care about each other, that can be a beautiful thing. That can be an act, an expression of love, an intimacy between two people who care about each other. But let's take a situation that happens all too often. You're in a housing project or somewhere and you've got to get to work, or your kids are sick and you've got to get them to the hospital and you go running out to get to your car to drive your kids to the hospital to get to work, and your car doesn't work. And you know some guy down the street who knows how to work on cars, and you go to him and you say, would you please help me get my car going? And he's not thinking the way he should be, and he says, all right, I'll help you, but you got to give me a little something something. Now, you know this happens. And this is turning what should be a beautiful thing, an act of intimacy between people, into an ugly thing, into a form of a commodity, into which two things are being exchanged for each other. He's helping you with your car, but you got to give him some sex that you may not at all want to give him. Let's take a more commonplace example of commodities.
You are listening to The Michael Slate Show. We're going to take a short musical break and be right back.
And we're performing up the block in the Folsom Rouge on Thursday night. We're going to sign some records tomorrow at Vintage Revival Records. So grab a rock and roll legend, Chad Smith, on the drums. We will see you at the Folsom Rouge. Come on, get in the air!
be the one to welcome you to the revolution.
We've got some time left, so I'd like to play this.
The system in this country is not democracy. This is Bombavakian, Revolution number 82. If you ask people, what is the system we have in this country? Almost everybody will say democracy. Even if many think this democracy has problems, even very serious problems. The reason almost everybody will answer this way is because that is how they have been conditioned and propagandized to think since they were very small, by the educational system, the politicians, the media, and all the other dominant institutions of this country. Well, almost everybody would be wrong. The actual answer to the question, what is the system that rules in this country, is that it is the system of capitalism. The capitalist economy is the foundation for the whole system in this country. And the democracy that exists is democracy on the basis of this capitalism. In the capitalist system, a relatively small number of people, the capitalist class, owns the major means of production, land, factories, and the technology and machinery, as well as the raw materials that are used in production. Those who own these means of production profit from the labor of those who do not own them and are therefore forced to work for those who do. Capitalism is based on exploitation. What is this exploitation? Profiting from the labor of others, working them in conditions that create the greatest profit for the capitalists, regardless of the effect on these workers. The capitalists themselves are compelled to drive the workers this way because each capitalist is in competition with other capitalists. This is the basic situation, the basic nature and relations of this system. I explain this more fully in two articles on exploitation and putting an end to exploitation and oppression, as well as the article Commodities and Capitalism, and the Terrible Consequences of This System, all of which are available at revcom.us. The capitalist economy sets the terms for the system as a whole, including the political institutions, the educational system, the dominant culture and ruling ideas, the superstructure of this system. If you have a capitalist economic foundation, then the superstructure of politics and ideology that exists on the basis of this foundation will be, has to be, in line with that foundation, or the system will not be able to function. This is true of any structure or any system. The foundation sets the terms and the limits for what the superstructure will be. Imagine trying to put a wooden roof with heavy logs on top of a hut made of straw. The whole thing would collapse. And the same applies to the superstructure of the capitalist system. The democracy that exists in this country is and can only be democracy that is based on, serves, and is limited by the capitalist system of exploitation and oppression, or else the system will not hold up, will not be able to function. Under this system, any rights that people have, as well as the law and the rule of law and the political process as a whole. All of this is shaped and limited by what will serve the capitalist system of exploitation and the interests of the capitalist class that rules in this system. Anything or anyone that seriously threatens or is seen as seriously threatening the rule of the capitalist class or the basic functioning and stability of the capitalist system will be suppressed by that ruling capitalist class and its institutions of violent repression, especially the armed forces and police, as well as the courts. In the capitalist system, with the capitalist economy as the foundation for the system as a whole, it is formally declared that there is freedom for everybody. Nobody is supposed to be owned as slaves, and supposedly, nobody is restricted by law and custom to certain inferior positions. And there is the principle of formal equality. Everyone is supposedly equal in terms of opportunity and equal before the law. In reality, of course, things don't work that way because money talks and people with more money have more influence. And again, those who have acquired a great deal of wealth through capitalist exploitation have power that others do not have. Most fundamentally, there cannot really be equality between the capitalists who own the major means of production and those who do not own them and are reduced to working for the capitalists. In a real sense, those who do own the major means of production have the power of life and death over those who own no means of production and also have no specialized skill or high level of education, because those in this position can only live if they are being exploited by the capitalists. For masses of people, if they cannot get hired by and exploited by those who own the means of production, they will be left with no legal and legitimate means to live or provide for a family. All this is an expression of profound inequality, including inequality of opportunity. The capitalists who own means of production have the opportunity to get rich, while those who do not own means of production, and again, are without any specialized skill or high level of education, have the opportunity to be exploited or to starve or to turn to hustling or crime in one form or another. Further, in this basic relation of exploitation, the outward appearance is that there is equality. The capitalists pay a wage to the workers they employ in exchange for the labor the workers carry out for the capitalists. But the reality is this: the wage the workers receive is equal to only part of the wealth that they create through their labor. And surplus wealth, surplus value that the workers create, beyond what is equal to their wages, goes to the capitalists. That is the dirty little secret of capitalist exploitation. It is the basis for capitalist profit, and in fact, for the functioning of the capitalist system as a whole. Along with that, where certain races and other social groups have historically been discriminated against, there is that whole dimension of inequality. So the formal equality of the capitalist system covers over a great deal of inequality. And the most essential freedom in capitalist society is freedom to be dominated by and to operate within the confines of the capitalist system. Even though individuals within the exploited and oppressed groups in society may rise to a more privileged and wealthy position, or in a few cases, even become part of the ruling class, the masses of exploited and oppressed people cannot do so within the confines of this system of capitalism. The idea that everybody can do so is one of the main and most important illusions that is constantly propagated by the ruling class as a means of keeping people loyal to this system and limiting their vision and aspirations to what is said to be possible within this system. Next, I will get further into how this system and its rule over the people actually functions, and specifically why the basic decisions about the direction of society are not decided by the people through elections. Voting by the people is not the basic way things are decided under this capitalist system. This is Bob Avakian, Revolution number 83. It is a fact that the politics of this system, the much proclaimed capitalist democracy, normally allows the people to vote. But here is the crucial thing. Whom people get to vote for is not decided by the people. It is decided by the ruling capitalist class through its political representatives, in this country, the Democratic and Republican parties. Yes, these parties have primary elections through which their candidates are chosen to run in the general election. But those primaries, too, are dominated and controlled by the ruling class and the heads of its political parties. When the people vote, they are voting for candidates who will represent the interests of the ruling capitalist class, candidates who have been selected through a process dominated and ultimately controlled by that ruling class. For example, who decided that Joe Biden would be the only serious candidate in the Democratic Party primaries this year? And who then decided that Biden should get out of the race and be replaced by Kamala Harris? There are times, and what we are living through now is one of those times, when the capitalist ruling class is deeply divided and the contest between different sections of the ruling class for control of the government is extremely bitter and outside the bounds of their normal competition. But that is a bitter contest over which vision and program of which section of the ruling class will best serve the continuing rule of the capitalist system with its basis in vicious exploitation and murderous oppression. It is clearly the case that under this system, anyone who attempts to be a serious candidate for office, and especially high office like president, will have to get the backing of capitalists with a lot of money and influence. Along with that, any such candidate will have to be judged legitimate by the dominant media, which are themselves capitalist institutions with billions of dollars of capital, and are essentially propaganda instruments of the ruling class, or sections of the ruling class. Anyone who is not judged legitimate will be locked out of these media, given no coverage, except perhaps in the form of a tax on them. And once again, there is the basic fact that legitimate means in the interest of the ruling system of capitalism. This gets to the most fundamental point. Under this system, any politician and any program of politicians has to be in line with the basic interests and essential functioning of the capitalist system, or else chaos would result and society could not function. Here is an example I have used before, which gets to the heart of the matter. Think of what would happen if, under this capitalist system, politicians passed a law which said that people could take whatever they require for their basic necessities without having to pay for them. The whole system would obviously break down. This is an expression of the fundamental reality that with any structure or any system, the foundation sets the terms and the limits for what the superstructure will be, which I spoke to in my previous message, number 82. Only in the communist system could things be made available to people, basic material necessities, as well as educational and cultural needs, etc., without people having to pay for them. How and why that is so is something I've spoken to in basic terms elsewhere, including the articles at revcom.us on exploitation and putting an end to exploitation and oppression, which I referred to in my previous message. Providing a decent life for the masses of people as a whole, free from concern about whether they will have even the basic necessities of life, that is neither a goal nor a possibility under the capitalist system. Once again, this is because of the basic nature and functioning of the capitalist economic system with the politics and ideology that go along with and reinforce that system. In summation, the system in this country is capitalism. It is a system based on exploitation and oppression, and the democracy under this system is an expression of and serves to reinforce the rule of the capitalist class of exploiters. It is a democracy that serves as a cover for and at the same time a means of enforcing the actual dictatorship of the capitalist class, its monopoly of political power, and especially the monopoly of legitimate violence exercised by this capitalist class through its political representatives and institutions of organized violence, the armed forces, police, etc. As history has shown, for example, with fascist rule in Germany and some other countries before and during World War II, especially in situations of extreme and acute crisis, this system can even do away with this capitalist democracy and replace it with undisguised dictatorial rule by the capitalist class. This is essentially what is represented by Trump and the Republican Party today. But as extreme as this fascism is, it is an extreme and undisguised form of the dictatorship that is actually exercised by the capitalist class at all times under this system. In my next message, I will get further into the nature of the capitalist system and why it cannot be reformed, but must be overthrown and replaced by a far better system.
And that brings us to the end of another show here at the Michael Slate Show. I'd like to thank Andy Z and everybody at the Revolution Nothing Less Show, my assistant producer, Henry Carson, and all of you for tuning in. And again, check out the RevComs on YouTube at youtube.com/TheRevComs and follow at Bob Avakian Official on all your social media platforms. And remember, the problem is not human nature. It is the nature of the system. Through a real revolution, a better world is possible. My name is Sansara Taylor. I'll talk to you again next week.